You should have a handout as well in your pack, headed Vision 2022. Do have that in front of you and make notes as you find that helpful. At the Annaby Churches, we're a Christ-centered community existing to spread a passion for Jesus Christ across the Annaby communities and beyond. We love Jesus, we're excited by Jesus, we see him as our hope, our joy, our life, and we long for others to know him and receive the life he gives and be passionate about him. And we're a community, we've been gathered together by the Holy Spirit around the throne of Jesus who rules us by his word. It's been very easy to lose sight of that reality over the last couple of years, but we are a community and we're slowly realizing how much we need each other. So that's our purpose, that's our long-term vision as a church, a purpose that will continue regardless of COVID or a million other things that could divert us. And we seek to go about that in three ways. They're on the handout: making disciples who make disciples, supporting mission in West Hull and beyond, and sending disciples to bless the Annaby communities. And each year we pause to ask the question, what might God have in store for us this year? Where might he be leading us? And we're going to do that today. We did the same about this time last year, and I said then that it sounded completely ridiculous as we came out of a Christmas that was virtually cancelled and went into a lockdown. I was hoping this year it would seem slightly less ridiculous. You can tell me afterwards whether you think it does. And of course, the jury's still out about how COVID will affect 2022. Someone was saying the other day their prayer is that 2022 will be a normal year, whatever normal looks like these days, and I completely agree with them. But even if there is more disruption and uncertainty, then there's still value in taking stock, in making plans, in pleading with God. We need to know how to live in these uncertain times, and we need to plan for hopefully more certain times in the future. So do bear with me. It's worth saying that the church council have changed how we think about vision. We used to have a five-year plan and then a particular focus for each year. We've reflected on that and come to realize 5 years is now a very long time. It was even before COVID. Things are constantly changing. So from now on, we're going to have a plan or a vision, whatever you want to call it, for 2 years that gets refreshed at the end of the first year. And that means our focus for 2022 is going to be similar to 2021. We've tinkered with it rather than completely changing it. So here's what we're going to do for the next few minutes together. We'll be reminded of the teaching from Acts 6 that was just read to us that we thought about this time last year. We'll think about how things have gone in 2021 and some of the challenges we face, and then we'll think about a focus for 2022. And in particular, there'll be three things, and they're in that little sentence halfway down at the first page of the handout. God's church grows as in prayer and dependence, his people live out their calling and seek to share their faith with others. That's what we're going to be thinking about. But first, let's revisit Acts 6 as we did last January. We'll know that Acts is written by Luke, who wrote one of the Gospels, and it's about the work of Jesus on earth after he'd ascended back to the Father, his work done by his first followers in the power of the Holy Spirit. Current plan is to spend some more time in Acts later in the year, which I'm looking forward to. Up to this point in Acts, the Holy Spirit has come on the believers at Pentecost. The numbers of disciples is growing. And in chapters 5 and 6, the devil throws several challenges into the path of the church. There's the threat of corruption and the threat of persecution in chapter 5. And now in chapter 6, there's the threat of distraction. Look at verse 1. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the number of disciples is growing, literally multiplying. But as many of us, those of us in management roles will know, that always presents logistical problems. So second half of verse 1. The number of disciples was increasing. The Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. We're in Jerusalem. All the Christians at this point are from a Jewish background, but there are different cultures among them. In particular, there's the Hebrew culture and the Greek culture. The church was rightly taking seriously its role to look after widows who were in need. But for some reason or other, the culturally Greek widows were being overlooked. They weren't getting their share. It probably wasn't deliberate. It was an oversight. The apostles were worked off their feet, preaching and teaching and praying and leading, and this was being overlooked. But of course, the potential for division is enormous. Just think of the responses to the changes in the government benefits over the last few months. Some people feeling left down, let down, left out, marginalized. So there's a problem. So what do the apostles do? Verse 2. The 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." The apostles are clear on 2 things. 2 things are essential. First, these widows need to be provided for. It's part of the church's job. It's not negotiable. But second, it's not their calling to do it. Their calling as apostles is to focus on God's word and on prayer. If they try to do other things as well, they'll get burned out. The job won't get done properly, as we saw in verse 1. And other people who can do the serving role perfectly well, for whom perhaps it's part of their calling, won't get the opportunity. What's the solution? They invite the church to select 7 people to be set apart, to be commissioned, given authority to carry out the vital task of providing for the widows. The apostles can carry on with their calling of teaching and preaching and prayer, and those 7 can carry out their calling. And the result, verse 7, the word of God spread. The number of disciples increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The obstacle that had been put in place by the devil was removed, and the word of God was able to continue to spread, to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied. Last January, we learned 5 lessons from that passage. They're listed on the handout. I'm not going to go through all of them in detail now. If you want to follow them up, then you can listen to the sermon from last January. But I'll focus on 3 of them that are linked to our focus for this year, which, just to remind us, is God's church grows as in prayer and dependence, his people live out their calling and seek to share their faith with others. So the spread and increase of the word is vital. That is the word of God contained in the Bible. Why is it vital? Well, that's the refrain through the early chapters of Acts. The word of God increased. That's what increases the number of disciples. That's why the apostles do what they do. More fundamentally, it's vital because it's the word about Christ. The word about the cross and resurrection. It's the life-giving word. The word that brings life in its fullness, now and eternal life. It's the word that's changed our lives. The word that, if you're not yet a Christian, can change your life. The word that the people of Anlaby and West Hull and the whole world desperately need. This is the word that is spread as we share our faith with others. Second, every member of the church needs to know their role. That's the turning point, isn't it, in today's passage, as the apostles are able to focus on what God has called them to, and those 7 are set apart for a new role that God's called them to. And so the church continues to flourish. It's a worked example of Paul's teaching about the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12. We are a body, we have different gifts and abilities. God is calling us to different roles. And so we operate within our roles and our gifts, and as we do that, the body grows. And then it's in the power of the Holy Spirit, therefore prayer and dependence is vital. It's all made possible by the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who Jesus poured out at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit who turned 11 frightened men into people who changed the world. It was the Holy Spirit who changed everything, and that is still the case today. If the Holy Spirit isn't working, we're wasting our time, and therefore prayer is vital. Dependence on God is vital. I wonder if we've learned that lesson. It's helpful to be reminded of it at the start of this new year. It's a lesson that I think takes a lifetime to learn. So how's it going? How was 2021? Each of us will answer that question differently. Of course, there were immense challenges personally as a church, as a nation. Some of us would prefer to forget all about it. And yet as a church, there were encouragements. There was progress. So a number of people did discern their roles. For some, it was in existing roles or newly created roles, such as the building's team leader role. Others were given a vision for a new role and a new ministry, and out of that, the ministries of WOW and Little Explorers came to be or developed. And I thank God for both of those ministries and all who are involved in them. They're already being a huge blessing to many. Second, last summer, we had a sermon series called Equipped, where we thought about how Christian service flows out of Christian life. And if you've joined us since June, or you didn't catch all of those, or you've forgotten them, then I would encourage you to listen to some of them again on the website. Third, in spite of the COVID restrictions, there were lots of opportunities for the word to spread online, through YouTube and Facebook, in schools, in personal conversations, and in the different ministries of the church. We've served the community and beyond through pastoral visiting, supporting the Westhole Food Bank, the Anderby Community Garden, to name just a few. And from September, we've benefited from the reordering of the St. Peter's building. There's lots to thank God for. But of course, there have also been significant challenges. Many of us have faced our own struggles with health and work and relationships. Many of us have struggled mentally. This time last year, I really struggled during that lockdown. As a result of not being able to meet for months and then not being able to socialize even when we could meet, we've lost connection with each other. We've lost something of that sense of church family that's so important. Many of us are exhausted and discouraged, and that's not to mention all the wider challenges that there are. And I thought it'd be good just to pause for a moment and in twos or threes, just have a think about those questions at the top of the second page of the handout. So personally and as a church, what's been the biggest encouragement? And for the church, what's been the biggest challenge? So maybe just if you're on your own, then on your own, or in twos or threes, just think about those questions for a couple of minutes. Let's just turn for a few minutes to look at the year ahead. And back to the summary. God's church grows as in prayer and dependence his people live out their calling and seek to share their faith with others. And I hope this is something I'm sure this is something we can all get behind, whatever personal challenges we're facing, and we all want to see the church grow, don't we? And this gives just an idea of how this might happen in the year ahead. So I'm doing them in reverse order in terms of that little sentence. So seeking to share our faith with others in long-term, low-key relationships. And we'll come to sharing our faith with non-believers in a moment, but perhaps even more urgent is rebuilding relationships and connections with each other and encouraging each other in our faith. It's inevitable that in the last couple of years, we've been impacted in all sorts of ways, including emotionally and socially. For myself, I've noticed becoming more shy and nervous. You might not have noticed, but I have. Not because of COVID. It's actually hugely liberating to have had COVID, I have to say. I don't worry about it in the same way. But because of 2 years of mostly having to stay at home, away from people. So we need to build relationships and community again. How can we do that? Well, it's great to be able to meet again for refreshments after the service, and I would encourage everyone to make it a priority to stay if you can. In lots of ways, we've often said this is as important as the service itself, as we share life and talk about our faith together. All the midweek groups help, and they're all starting again this week, which is wonderful. And social events, I think, will help, and I hope we'll be able to do some of those in the coming months. But also just meeting together. And with that in mind, one of the things I'm most excited about the next few months, is an opportunity for all the men of the Annaby churches. Our hope and prayer is that over the next few months, men will start meeting together in groups of three or four to share life together, to read the Bible, and to pray for each other and for God's work. I won't say too much now. I'll be sharing a bit more in due course. But I pray that, among other things, that'll be an opportunity for the men to reconnect in a way that we haven't been able to over the last couple of years. In terms of sharing our faith with those who aren't yet Christians, this is perhaps the biggest change in emphasis from this time last year. The Church Council would like us to spend some time as a church thinking about how we can share faith with others. It's a scary thought, isn't it? But actually, it's something we all, I think, deep down want to be able to do. And it's something we can help each other with. And the main way we're going to do that is through some pre-prepared sessions that we'll be looking at in life groups this term. So if you're not in a life group already, I do encourage you to join one. If you're not able to for some reason, you can go through the sessions online, and the details are at the end of the handout. But there's no substitute for actually doing it together in a life group, so do join one. As a church, we'll also keep providing opportunities to develop long-term, low-key relationships through church and ACT activities like Little Explorers, the Community Garden, the Young Adults Group, WOW, Ablaze. We hope to start a daytime group for older people in due course. And we'll keep encouraging church members to develop relationships through being involved in other groups where they meet non-Christians, such as Men in Sheds, U3A, Whole Saints, and so on. Second, helping each other to know and live out our calling. I don't plan to say much about this because we are really carrying on from last year in that. And the best thing to do, as I say, is to go away and listen to some of those Equip talks again from last June, I think it was. But just a couple of quick comments. First, this doesn't necessarily mean more work. That's always what we hear, isn't it, when we talk about gifts and calling and so on, more work. Actually, as I heard someone say recently, you don't necessarily want a full ministry, but a fruitful ministry. And we could change that to a fruitful life is more important than a full life. In other words, let's take some time to examine how we spend our time, what we prioritize. Are we filling our lives with things which don't benefit us and others? What if we were living out the role, the gifting, the calling that God has called us to? What might that look like? How could we find out what it is? And as always, if you'd like to talk about that, then do speak to a friend or speak to me or a life group leader. It may also be some of us feel scared or not ready. And if that describes you, I'd just encourage you, God has gifted you in a certain way, as I read out those words right at the start. And it's actually a blessing to us as we live out his purposes for us. I find that when I walk in the ways God's called me to, I flourish. Well, there are many others who would say the same. Third, growing in prayer and dependence. It's been said that if you want to make a Christian feel guilty, then ask them about their prayer life. And that's probably true. We all think we could pray more. We probably all could pray more. But I think the key to this is realizing that if God doesn't work, we are helpless. God doesn't work in that difficult relationship. There's no hope for it. God doesn't sort out that family problem or that work problem or that money problem or that health problem in the way that is best, not necessarily the way that I would like. If he doesn't do it, there's no hope. God doesn't help us come back together as a church after the last 2 years. We'll fall apart. God doesn't work through my words today, then I'm wasting my breath. I said at the start that we're a Christ-centered community existing to spread a passion for Jesus across the Annaby communities and beyond. If God doesn't do that, if God doesn't spread the passion, it'll never happen. I know I need to realize that more and more. And as we do, we'll pray more. And we meet in various ways already, and I'd encourage us to make the most of those opportunities. But it would also just be wonderful to just take every opportunity as we feel comfortable to just share and pray after the service if we have something we would appreciate prayer for. Meeting up for coffee and prayer, those groups of men praying that I've already mentioned. And if you have ideas for how as a church we can keep encouraging praying together, then do feed those in. Well, there are lots of other things we could talk about. We could talk about the refurbishment of the St. Mark's Hall, which we hope will happen sometime this year. We could talk about finding new ways to serve the local food banks, to work with them. We could talk about our mission partners. We could talk about Hull 2030. But let's just focus on what we've seen. God's church grows as in prayer and dependence, his people live out their calling and seek to share out their faith with others. Let's pray God does that amongst us in 2022. What I'm going to suggest is, again, if we just take 2 or 3 minutes in those same pairs or threes or whatever, just thinking, what are you most excited about from what you've heard? Hopefully there's something. If there's nothing, come and tell me afterwards. So what are you most excited about from what you've heard? And then I'll lead us in a prayer in a couple of minutes. After the service, but let's pray. Father, we thank you for this account of the early church. Thank you for the way that you worked there. Thank you for the way you are working amongst us. And we long that you would do that more. Please, would you help us to grow in prayer and dependence, both individually and as a church. And as we do, please would you show us your plans? Would you show us your plans for us individually and as a church? You equip us to serve you, equip us to make you known. We long that just as the word of God increased, so the word of God would continue to increase, that you might be glorified, that Jesus might be known, that many more people might be passionate about the Lord Jesus and the difference he makes. We pray it for your glory. Amen. Well, let's pray as we sing again.